sorry about my mix-up yesterday, but I always get screwed up by the international dateline. I always think she wants it to be her Thursday. I can't do the math.
I'm in the future. You're in the past. Yeah,
I know that.
We have hoverboards now. We have hoverboards now. I'm just telling you.
Well, so good to see you, Kate.
I look a bit bedraggled, but you know, whatever.
That is your way.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you know, it's a lot warmer down there in Australia right now than it is here. Because right now, I think we're at, it's not too bad, 36 degrees Fahrenheit, which is cold.
Yeah. Well, it's not great here. We've got lots of fires. Everything's on fire.
Is it still going?
Yeah. It's terrible. Like, so it looks like apocalypse now every day. You wake up and the sky is orange. Yeah. Pretty fun.
Can you smell it from your home, the smoke and things?
Bits of ash are falling constantly and I can't see beyond my garden. Like usually you can see all the hills and whatever, but it's all.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
My wife and I, we used to live in Colorado. We were out there and we lived up in the mountains and there was a fire there that was like, I want to say 95,000 acres. And that's big. And I was out of town and my wife was home alone with, I think at the time, two babies. And she's, you know, calls me and says, I can smell the smoke in our house. And I'm like, oh my gosh, very scary.
It is. Yeah. Not much we can do though. Well, other than, yeah.
Well, anyway, I thank you for coming on the Nonfiction Brand Podcast again, Kate Toon of Sydney, Australia.
It's lovely to be here. You know, I love talking to you.
Yeah, well, and I love talking to you as well. And in fact, I was really inspired to talk to you again because of a story or a article that you put up on LinkedIn on November 6th, simply titled How My Business Works. Now, I love the fact that you did this because I've always been kind of curious as to how you built the Kate Toon empire and how it started and all that stuff. And so you very kindly wrote it all up in a article that's very easy to read. And you include a I don't want to read video version of it as well. So I'm telling you, anybody who wants to get to know Kate Toon, the best way to do it is to check out this LinkedIn article called How My Business Works. Kate Toon is spelled exactly how you would think Kate Toon is spelled. And you get to see her, you get to hear her, and you get to read her because as a writer, one of the things I really appreciate about Miss Kate Toon is the fact that she writes with great aplomb, if you ask me.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, it was, the reason why I wrote this article though, it wasn't anything other than selfish because I've actually got a new employee starting or I've had them start. And they started to ask me questions like, so what's in your business and how many websites do you have and why do you do that? And how does that relate to that? And I'm like, I don't know. So I had to kind of think about it because my business has evolved quite organically with no plan because I'm not much of a planner. And it was really quite interesting to take a step back and actually look at my business and go, wow, look at all the things. Look at all the people. Oh, that's how that fits in there. And it also helped me identify a few gaps and made me look at money, which is always interesting. You know, where's the money coming from? Where's the money going? So it was a really enjoyable exercise for me. It's all about me, as you know. But yes, it's had great feedback because I think often people aren't that transparent about how their business works. You know, they kind of keep it quite close.
Well, and you're doing one of the things that I tell people all the time when it comes to content creation. It's answer the questions that you get, whether you get them a ton. I mean, if people are constantly asking you it, it's because they're constantly curious. But even a one-off question can be a very valuable one in terms of spurring something that a lot of people will find interesting because, frankly, they've always wanted to know, but they never ask.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think the flip of that or the other part of it is with content creation, it so often feels like, well, somebody's already written that post. You know, like if I'm a writer and I write another post about how to use the semicolon, there's been so many of those written. What can you really bring to that article to make it special and interesting? But if it's something about your business or you or how you think or how you work, well, no one's written that because you're you. So, you know, there's a million articles about how people's business works, but my business works in a peculiar, toonish way that makes that content unique to me. And that makes it easier to write because you don't feel like you're treading in other people's footsteps.
And you literally can't tread in someone else's footsteps if you're taking those steps yourself. And here's the thing, and we've talked about this on the previous couple episodes that we did together, that Kate loves to serve her tea hot. It's got tons of flavor and a little bit of heat. And personally, one of my favorite things is to sit there and grab the popcorn and watch you have interesting conversations, especially on Facebook, with people who, correct me if I'm wrong, tend to be male, tend to be older, and tend to be a little bit of sand in their garments about an opinionated woman having a point of view that may be contradictory to the way they run their personal life.
Yes, very much so. I seem to, put sand in people's pants. That seems to be what I do. And, in the past, when I started out, I would, take that quite personally, maybe get a bit emotional. You know, someone was criticizing me. Maybe my opinion is wrong. Maybe I should listen to this man with a beard because he's older and uglier than me. But now I'm like, brilliant, screen grab, something I can share on content for my content marketing, and then have the debate, and that's come with time and confidence. My opinion is my opinion, and that's okay. And it's not like I'm writing about, religion or war or politics or anything particularly controversial. Often it's like whether or not you should have a slider on your homepage, and people are like, no, they get so up in arms about the most foolish things. So I'm not trying to be controversial, but as you said, even being brave, and I'm doing air fingers, enough to have an opinion about anything online causes you to, people get divisive about it and people have reactions. So it's been it's interesting.
You aren't kidding when you say you take screenshots, because I've literally seen screenshots from various channels that you then will take and use on other channels just to make the point of, and you do it both positively and confrontationally and negatively as well. So I've seen a number of people who've written, you can almost see tears from their eyes on the type, because they were so impressed and empowered by your courses that they now have a new lease on life and all that stuff. So you're using all the good stuff, but you aren't afraid to confront the bad stuff either. Because again, I've read some really interesting conversations back and forth with someone who comes off really poorly at the end of that conversation, because they've revealed themselves to be what here in the United States is kind of summed up by a recent two-word phrase, okay, boomer. It's like, you clearly don't get it. Okay, boomer. I'm turning you off now.
I had one recently on a blog post that was around what not to do in Facebook groups, which is one of my most popular posts. People love. And he just wrote a whole little barrage about how I was a terrible writer, and I had terrible opinions. And he wrote it in one long continuous sentence. You could just see the keyboard being bashed. And again, I posted that and I didn't blank out his name either, because I thought, look, if you're willing to put that actually on my blog, but often people email me or private message me things. And I'm like, well, if you're going to say that, you lose your opportunity or you lose your luxury of anonymity. I'm happy. You were happy to call me out and invade my slide into my DMs. Is that what they say? I'm not a millennial.
Yep.
I think I'm half boomer. But you're willing to do that, then I'm willing to, put your content back out there for the world. Don't write anything on the internet that you don't expect someone to read at some point.
Well, exactly. Live your life out loud and live your life fully non-anonymized. Be yourself, be who you are, and understand that it's okay that a certain segment of the population is not going to dig what you're doing. Let me give you a taste of what Kate's about when I talk about the fact that you're kind of salsa. This is what I mean. And I'm just going to read a little bit of the intro from your article, How My Business Works, the LinkedIn article, which I really encourage listeners to check out. It just starts out with the intro. The word entrepreneur kind of makes me gag. If you've read my book, you know that. And here's an excerpt. In dictionary terms, it simply means a person who sets up a business or businesses taking on financial risks in the hope of profit. So that's basically anyone who starts a business, right? But these days, it means so much more. Entrepreneurs spend all day crushing it. And no, it doesn't matter what the it is. When they're not making six figures from their hammocks, they're posting 800-word Facebook ads telling you how you can do it too. And this is my favorite part. These days, everyone is an entrepreneur, parentheses, unless, of course, they're a coach. When I read, unless, of course, they're a coach, I literally had to get new underwear because spot on, as they say. But that's how you roll. And, you know, I talked about one of the people who took your course in a previous episode, but it's instructive as to the type of energy and excitement that you engender with the people who get you. You know, I met someone who was going to go take your course and she said, do you know who you were just talking to? And I said, no, I don't know, some Australian lady who's actually pretty fun. And they said, no, that's Kate Toon. And I said, oh, who's Kate Toon? She said, she's okay. The night before I took her course, I broke out in hives because I was so excited to meet Kate Toon. And I'm like, really? Well, that's cool. The bottom line is you engender a lot of passion in the people who engage with you, your courses, your workshops, your activities, your events, and you get equally excited people on the other side of that. And you're okay with that. And the last time we talked, you said you rapidly became okay with being who you were because it's who you are.
Yeah, I think it's funny that the excitement thing, because I, you know, that's slightly artifice. You know, if you're going to be selling a course or something, there is this whole idea around scarcity. And I do like launch mornings and there's limited spots. So it's a bit like people queuing up to buy tickets for an Ed Sheeran concert. You know, people are like, oh my God, I set the alarm at 2 a.m. just so I could make sure that I could get on, which is lovely. You know, that's great. And then, you know, but then it has to be followed through. So you then, when, you know, you get in the group, that energy has to keep going and that enthusiasm. And the thing is, I couldn't do it if I wasn't genuinely enthused. I'm not a particularly good baker. Do you know what I mean? And also I'm, you know, I'd say I'm an ambivert. Like I'm great when I'm great. And when I'm not, I'm not. You know, there's very little in between that, you know. And when we met that night, you know, I enjoyed socializing until I didn't. And then when I don't, it's over. So yeah, I think the being myself thing has been a long journey, you know, for all of us. That's kind of quite an existential comment. In real life and in business, but it's just such a relief. And I mean, this is, I think, something you talk about with your personal branding message, is that it just makes business so much easier if you understand what your brand values are, which for me are my values. There's no difference. And then also I can turn up wherever I am, whether it's LinkedIn or TikTok or Twitter or in real life, and I'm exactly the same. And that's been quite reassuring for people, that when they do meet me, they're like, oh, you are like you. Because as you know, we meet a lot of, when you go to these big events, you meet a lot of people that you've maybe listened to on a podcast or, you know, watched a webinar, and you meet them in real life and they are not at all like the person you thought they would be. And it's quite disappointing. Have you had that?
Oh my God. This will not surprise you. Social media marketing world, which was great. I really enjoyed it, but I made the mistake of going to see a couple of the people I saw the year before. And normally that's cool, because if you liked them once, you'll see them again. They'll have new material. You'll enjoy what they're doing. Except they didn't have new material. I'm sitting in there, this guy's talk, who shall remain nameless. And he's going through it. And I'm going, oh my God, not only is it the same material, but he had the same beats, the same breaks, the same, this is where I hold for a laugh because I always get a laugh here. And I'm like, oh my God, he's not only a bad repeat performer at a conference where I know for a fact they talk to the people who are speaking there saying, you must present new material. This guy didn't. And as a former actor, he wasn't even a good actor, because a good actor will go, okay, I know I deliver this line. There has to be a little bit of a beat for audience response and stuff like that. But you don't literally program it in. You know, it's always a new performance. And this guy was literally, you could put a videotape on and cue it up and have him live on stage, and you would see the exact thing going on at the same exact time. And that just grated my cheese like you would not believe.
And nobody likes grated cheese. I see it a lot on Facebook. You know, people are all trying to do Facebook Lives because they've been told that's a great way to make connection. And it is, of course, any native video, whether it's on LinkedIn or Facebook, is fab. What I find really funny is, you know, the moment before the camera, they will realize that they're live, you know, so that usually they're like this, like, oh, I'm doing a sad face. And they're like, right. Hi, doing on my Facebook Live. And it's like, that smiley face should be there right from the get-go, because you should be excited about doing the Facebook Live, you know. And yeah, gosh, maybe sometimes it's their concentration face. But then I've also seen it at the end where they think the camera's they've clicked off and it hasn't quite gone off yet. And right. you see them like go at the end yeah. of their life.
Oh
and
my
it's
God.
Just it's just a hoot.
That's my energy for the week. I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. Or just like that's my facade dropped. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm yeah. all I see it a lot with, and again, sweeping sexist generalization, but I see it a lot with female entrepreneurs who often feel that they have to be overly nice and confetti blowing, you know, and kind of like, yay, go team. And hey, you know, babe, how's your day? You know, it's like, and I'm wondering if they're really like that with their friends, you know, or if yeah. it's just this facade. And the more that you can just drop that and talk in your own weird way. And, you know, my accent changes about 5, 6 times whenever I'm doing anything because I've moved around so much. And someone actually really commented on that on a podcast and I wasn't aware that I did it, but that's just me, you know, like I'm talking to you now. Maybe I sound a bit, they said I sounded American, BP. And I was like, how dare you?
You'll never sound American.
No, I will not.
American.
American. And when I talk to you, I actually sound really British, I think. But,
yeah, I think you do. Yeah.
Yeah. I just put it on for you. Really.
Well, good. No, it works. It makes you sound so erudite.
I know, intelligent.
Exactly. Yeah.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Again, I want people to get to know you, and I really hope they follow you on LinkedIn, and you're really big on Facebook as well. What other channels are kind of like your number one? If I were to say, follow Kate Toon on, what would that fill in the blank be?
It would be, honestly, it would be sign up to my email list, because that's where I want people. And I'm really big about always trying to bring people back to my website, because I'm a big believer in, you know, building your empire on your own land. But if I had to pick a social media channel, it's going to be Facebook, because of me, Facebook is where my communities are. I've got 6 different communities for various different things, but I dabble in all of them, you know, I don't necessarily do a good job of all of them, but I'm present on all of them. I do like LinkedIn. I find the content you put on LinkedIn performs very differently. It's always very interesting. I'm getting into Instagram. It's a lot more gentle. I think people are much more, I've never had any abuse on Instagram. Everyone's really pleasant. And I'm loving TikTok at the moment. Like me and my son, I've got a whole series of TikTok videos planned that we're going to make it just for fun, just to have fun. But that's not necessarily brand. Well, it kind of is brand building, because part of my brand is being a bit playful and foolish and, you know, not taking myself too seriously. So TikTok, perfect for that.
Wow. That's really interesting, because I've been personally saying to myself, TikTok, that's one thing you just don't pay any attention to, because I'm doing so many other things poorly. I don't need to add another thing to the mix. But what I'm hearing you say is that it suits your style. It suits your brand. I mean, part of your brand is clearly the embrace of, I want to say silly, yeah, but in a meaningful, strategic way.
Not always. Sometimes it's just silly for silly.
Yeah, well, exactly. But if anyone ever expected you to be buttoned down and businesslike, they clearly don't know you.
I can do that. Like, you know, I just went into American Express and presented on SEO to like 100 marketing people. And, you know, I wasn't buttoned down, but I think you button down and professional and authoritative and expert, they're not necessarily, I think what people think is being playful and not taking business too seriously can't sit with being authoritative and expert and professional, but they absolutely can. And, you know, I did worry about that a lot in the beginning. Like if I share something on Facebook, which obviously, you know, the stories where you share your misgivings and your misfortunes often go down very well. If I, for example, yesterday I shared a post saying, you know, I'm having a really bad day. I've got nothing in the tank. I've got loads to do. I'm not feeling great. You know, are people going to look at that and go, well, she needs to get her stuff together. You know, she's obviously got emotional issues or whatever, but it doesn't seem to work like that. It endears people to you. And I think, you know, one of the biggest things for me in my marketing is that endearing quality. It's not something you can manufacture, but, you know, authoritative stuff, tips, advice, that's all very well and good, but endearing content performs better and I think builds more trust with your customers. That's what I've found anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and they certainly develop a personal relationship with you because you aren't afraid to be personal. Now, the line between that and too much information is a gray area that can get really messy fairly quickly. But I think as an adult, and you certainly are an adult, you walk that tightrope pretty darn effectively from what I see.
Yeah, I'm very clear on that. I don't think it's gray for me. You know, I won't talk about, you know, my family issues. I won't really necessarily go into major health issues or, you know, any kind of depression stuff. As I said, I don't necessarily go too much into my political beliefs. Definitely don't talk about religion. I'm a vegetarian. I mention it occasionally, but not in a preachy way. So, you know, I know what my boundaries are. And to be honest, they're just the boundaries I'd have in life. You know, often when you go to a networking event, you get stuck in the corner with Sue and she's clutching a sausage roll. And within 2 minutes, she's told you her entire life story and she's crying, you know, and it's like, we understand why people do that, you know, the need for connection. But I don't use Facebook as a place to air my sorrows necessarily. Yes, I share my highs and lows, but I don't share my absolute highs and my ultimate lows. There's a line in the middle that works pretty well for me.
Hey, nonfiction branders. Did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Anne Hanley said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, ROTOMA. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
So again, to provide listeners a little bit of background about Kate, you started your career as a copywriter in advertising agencies in Australia, correct?
And started off in the UK, more as a producer, to be honest, and then moved over to Australia as a producer again, so managing the projects. But then I took, a 70% pay cut to be a copywriter. Did that for a little while. Yeah, because I was a junior copywriter, but I was an executive producer.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was big, but I'm glad I did it. And then I went back to producing again because I needed some money. And then when I had my son, I gave up agency life and started my own business, katetoon.com, imaginative. Yeah. And that was about 11 years ago. And now I don't have any copywriting clients anymore, DP.
I saw that. I'm looking at the pie chart that you have in your article. It's literally talking about all your profit centers and all your profit streams coming in. And then I believe in the copy, it said that copywriting made up 0.01% or something of your total income. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it went from 100% to 0.01. So these days, I still get a lot of inquiries because I'm at the top of the ranking in Australia for an awful lot of keywords. But I just pass those jobs on to members of my community. So that's a great little job source. Now I've got a little job board where I post jobs for people. And, you know, we all know as copywriters, that's often one of the hardest things is to just get work. And then, you know, every once in a while, I will dip in and do a little bit of copywriting here and there. If it's a brand I'm excited about or a project I'm interested in. But it's very rare because honestly, I don't have the time or the brain space. Copywriting's hard.
Yeah.
Writing dumb stuff on Facebook's pretty easy. So I take the easy route.
And the thing is, you kind of made fun of the fact that you went with Kate Toon as your URL for your .com. But I got to be honest with you right now. I'm actively shedding things to get back to my dpknewton.com because I recently had a conversation with Neil Schaefer, which Nonfiction Brand Podcast listeners will remember, where I asked him about his shedding of external entity shells to become his neilschaefer.com. And I asked him why he did that. And frankly, he convinced me to do the same. Because I have actually given this advice in the past when someone asked me about, well, do I need to have a company name for my business? And I literally said, I used to think I needed a company name to be authoritative. I then realized what I needed to be authoritative. Get rid of the artifice and embrace the activity. but I wasn't practicing it myself. You know, I'm just like everybody else, which is practice what you preach. And sometimes that's easier said than done, because I look at what you're doing and you've got a number of things, you know, your SEO projects, or your profit center about SEO, your profit center about copywriting, your profit center about copywriter events for your copywriter community. Again, you, and by the way, people, I'm telling you, it's all in this article that's up on LinkedIn with graphics. So if you don't want to read, you can just look at the graphic called Stay Tuned that says she's got the Kate Tune and then some verticals that's associated with that, the Clever Copywriting School, the recipe for SEO success, Kate Tune Copywriter, and then the Hot Copy Podcast. All of these things are kind of lanes within your empire, but they're clearly defined, but they're all headed by you.
But they weren't. So I've gone on the exact same path as you did. So I started with Kate Tune. And then when I started the Clever Copywriting School, I was like, I don't want to put my name to it because maybe other copywriters won't want to join. And when I started the Recipe for SEO Success, I was like, I've got to have a proper brand name because otherwise people won't take me seriously because I'm not an authority. And then, you know, then when we did the podcast, which I do with Belinda, couldn't be under my name because so we had to create another brand. So I just got brand overload.
Right.
And, you know, and then what I've actually done is, and my Kate Tune site was nothing. My Kate Tune site was full of poetry and short films that I'd written when I was aspiring to be a real writer. But what I've done in the last 6 months is I've actually moved the katetune.com site back up to the top of the pyramid, completely rebranded it, add speaker pages, and made it like the hub for all the sub-brands. But I also have a big group on Facebook, which was called the Misfit Entrepreneurs after my book. But I'm releasing a new book. And I was like, do I set up another group? Do I set up another podcast? I can't deal with another brand. So instead, I rebranded my Facebook group, the Kate Tune Group. And some people were pretty angry about that. People were like, well, why have you changed the name and whatever? And I'm like, because it's my group and it's free and because I want to. And also because I've got too many brands and I need to bring it back. I agree with Neil Schaefer, you know, now, but it's also about that confidence. Like you said, I didn't feel authoritative before. Now kind of maybe I do, so I'm ready to do that. So it's a journey, I think, a brand journey.
Well, and the cool thing is you're not afraid to mess with the formula, or the recipe a little bit, because as you develop your strengths, you know, you're literally getting stronger. The things that made you attractive to other people are not changing. They are core to who you are, to what your personal brand is. So why don't you shed the stuff that isn't your personal brand? And if people don't like that, again, vote with your feet, people. Because if you don't dig me, I don't have to waste time and energy on you. I can give it to the people who actually appreciate who I am, what I do, and how I do it.
And so important that if you build a personal brand, people will follow you throughout your journey. So if people are relating to DP Knuten or Kate Tune, if I decide tomorrow to drop SEO and pick up something else and decide that that's my target, they weren't attached to the SEO brand. They were attached to the Kate Tune brand. So whatever I choose to do, hopefully they'll follow me. Whereas if you create all these sub-businesses, I think it's harder to build loyalty in that way. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I the people who dig you because you're you.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're buying my cornflakes, for crying out loud. Well, Kate Tune, we're going to wrap up this episode, but we're going to stop for a second and continue right on for the second episode, which is going to air next week. Before we do that, though, I want to give you a chance to let people know where they can connect with you. So you said, get on your email list. How can I get on your email list?
Well, if you go to katetune.com, you can find all my different websites. You can sign up to my email list there. I have about 4 email lists as well for my different brands. But yeah, katetune.com is the place to go.
All right. Well, check her out there for sure. And by the way, also ask to link to her, connect with her on LinkedIn, because I'm all about getting you a little bit more active on LinkedIn because I find it tremendously valuable. And I want you to be there as well. And you already are, because again, you posted this article on the 19th or something in November. And that caused me to go, gosh, I got to talk to Kate again. So once again, for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast and Nonfiction Brandversity, I'm DP Knuten, and she is
Kate Tune.
We'll both be back next week, and we'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.